Very helpful. Okay, so today for Serious Men, I've asked Brandon to speak. Brandon and Andrea, the family, they leave Tuesday for Taiwan, and I thought it'd be helpful. He's a local product, having pioneered, been a missionary, going as a missionary again, so I thought it'd be good perspective to have him do the lesson today. So let's give him our attention. Go ahead.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to give out a few scriptures here. Our opening scripture is 1 Corinthians 16:9. Brian, you want to get that? And then Ecclesiastes 3:1. Dwayne, do you want to get that? Then 1 Peter 5:8. Go ahead. Turn my arm off. And then Matthew 7, verse 7. Go ahead. Excuse me. So we hear stories and many different stories of men that have been placed in a situation where they had an opportunity to buy into a multi-million dollar business when it was in its beginning stages. And, you know, Steve Jobs, and I was just reading about Google. You know, somebody had the opportunity to buy into Google when it was still just a garage idea. And as the whole situation would unfold, they began to make decisions saying it's not big enough at the moment, and so I'm not willing to invest. And now we know Google is one of the largest search engines, and that would have been a good decision at that point. The idea of doors of opportunity that open are seasonal is an interesting thought as men of God and as disciples, that we are on a timeline, and that when we are involved in what God's doing, we enter into the arena of that timeline, and we enter into the arena of that seasonal open door. Let's get our opening scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:9.
For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
So this is Paul. He's been preaching around, and he speaks this. This is a very interesting statement that he makes. What he's saying is, he says, an effective door has opened up unto me, but there are many adversaries. The concept of a great door, that literally means an abundant opportunity. That is the opportunity to enter into another phase of life for doing something. And it says an effectual door. To be effective means to be successful. And so what Paul is saying is that there has been an opportunity given to him to be effective in what he's doing. And then it's interesting that he ties something to this, and he says that there are many adversaries. Things that stand against or that oppose, people that stand opposed. And as he's speaking this, he really does shine some light and gives us a little bit of an understanding of what he is facing, and what, you know, fast forward, and what we can face now, how to handle that. And so I want to talk this morning about a God of purpose. And let's look, first of all, the opportunity of open doors. And so the truth of open doors is that they're seasonal. We hear Pastor Greg and we hear other pastors, they speak about seasons of life. And we understand that there's a desperate need, and that we are in a world that is crying out for men that are willing to stand in the gap and enter that door. And so when we enter into the arena of destiny, as men of God, we really are entering into a supernatural opportunity. And it's not just, you know, because we're qualified or because we have something to offer, but it's because God is looking for men, because this is the time, this is the season of the open doors. And so many young men, many men in general, we misunderstand the urgency of God placing us in his kingdom as tools in his hand. And so the urgency is there because God knows that time, there's a timeline to what's going on, and if that door is missed, then we move past that. And so a simple fact of life is that some of the most important decisions that you will ever make, they have a deadline. That means that it's going to come to an end, and you won't be able to make that decision again. And that urgency is there, put there by God, so that we are put in a situation, a position, where we have to make a decision of entering that door. We hear this all the time. We hear it in conference. We hear pastors. God doesn't call us, doesn't choose us because we're qualified. He doesn't call us because we're qualified, because we have so much to bring to the table. He qualifies us because we're called. When he places a calling on your life, he qualifies you to be able to enter that arena. And too many men miss this opportunity that God has presented because they feel like somebody else is better. You feel inadequate. You feel like I'm not the man for the job. Maybe this guy, he's doing better, or that guy, he's got more gifts, or he's a better speaker, he's well more. We like to look at everybody else and we disqualify ourselves. Paul says in our text that a great door of effectiveness has opened. What this means to me is that that door must have been shut in the past. If a door has been open, that means it was shut previously. And if a door has been open, that means that there is a moment of effectiveness that has been granted. And the Bible speaks of seasons. Seasons being a very real part of life. Let's get Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1.
To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
To everything there is a season. There's a season to every aspect, every dynamic of life. And as men of God, as disciples in the kingdom of God, this means more to us than just, hey, it's going to rain tomorrow and then it's going to be warm coming soon. What this means to us is that the season of effectiveness is now, which means we need to take that seriously. We need to stand in the gap for that. And we have to understand that the enemy will oppose an open door of opportunity. He will try to cause you to miss God's destiny. And some of the ways he does that is he lies to you. He begins to whisper in your ear. You feel like God is challenging you to get involved. God is challenging you to rise up, to discipline your life. And then all these lies from hell begin to come into your mind. The enemy lies, and as he whispers into your ear, he says things like, if you respond to what God is challenging you to do, if you begin to discipline your life even now, then you're going to fail. People are they're not going to think you're serious in the future, so just don't do it. Or that he begins to lie to you, you don't have what it takes. So yeah, all these other guys, but if you rise up, you're going to make a fool out of yourself because you're not there. And so we remove ourselves and we disqualify ourselves because we become our own critique. I remember as a young disciple, you're trying to find your place in the kingdom of God. You know, I got saved about 16 years ago. I was a drug addict. I came into church and messed up. My mind was all over the place. And I remember coming into the church and sitting in the back of church and listening to the preaching. But there was a moment where I felt like God put his hand on my life and I felt like there was a call of God. And it wasn't like the windows of heaven opened. I said, oh man, I knew it. It was like God began to challenge me. And what he began to do was he began to quicken my heart to discipline myself. But I distinctly remember there was a man I was out witnessing. It was Saturday morning outreach. And here I'm trying to discipline my life and go on outreach and learn how to witness. And I remember listening to this guy witness, and man, this guy was sharp. I mean, he was like every question, he was on it. And I remember thinking to myself, man, this guy he's gifted. And the devil said, you will never be like that. And I felt defeated. You know, he didn't say anything to me. Nobody said anything to me. But the enemy is lying. The devil's lying. And he speaks into your ear, and what he tries to do is he tries to make you disqualify yourself. You're your worst critique. And that's the truth, because we know who we are. But you have to remember that God doesn't call you and doesn't place you in a situation where you can enter that door because you're qualified, but he's waiting for you to enter that door so that he can qualify you. You have to remember that the devil wants nothing more than to keep you idle. He wants to keep you where you're at. Stagnant water takes on all kinds of weird creatures. If you're not moving spiritually, you're not pressing in, you're going to be stagnant. That's the reality of life. And so as a man of God, if you press in and you begin to move on with this, you begin to put yourself in a position to where you can grow and you continue to move forward. There's a quote that goes like this: all opportunities and all open doors have one thing in common. They focus on the future. God will open doors because he's looking at your future. The idea that God is opening doors because he sees where you're going. You're making decisions today, not because you're going to, see results by Friday, but you're doing this today because you're anticipating what God has planned in the future. If you would have told me 15 years ago when I walked into church that someday I'd be preaching in China, that'd be insane to me. I'd have laughed it off because I know who I am. But the reality is God knows his plans. He knows his purposes. And he's waiting for men to stand up and enter into that purpose. So many of God's men miss the opportunity because they simply refuse to walk through that door of opportunity. There are many misconceptions. There are guys ahead of me. That's very common. Yeah, well, I'm doing good, but I'm not doing as good as this guy. I'm not doing as good as this guy or that. So I have some time to get my work life in order, to get my family in order, to get all these things in order, and then I'll start rising up and I'll start being serious about the things of God. Because there's plenty of guys ahead of me, and it's not my turn yet. We almost view discipleship like we're in the chute, like we're cattle getting ready to get sent out. But the reality is, when you step into that arena, God is looking at your life in a big picture, and He sees you for what you're going to be. I remember feeling like when I was, you know, coming to Serious Men, doing everything I knew how to do. I remember feeling like, man, this is good. And there's somebody that you kind of like, you're looking at, and he's not part of the frozen chosen, as the joke that the disciples say. And this guy is quietly seeking God. This guy is quietly contending. He's fasting. He's praying. He's faithful. He's not this firework of a man. And he gets launched before everybody. And it's like, it blows your mind. Because God is watching the details. He's watching for a man that's willing to enter that door on a personal level. And so the idea that the greatest miracles of life come from men that are willing to step through that door. Remember Peter, the very common Bible story, very well-known passage of Scripture. Peter's in the boat. He sees Jesus. Jesus tells him, step out. If this is, he says, if that's you, Jesus, tell me to step out. And he says, come. He steps out and he enters into a miracle that you don't read a lot about in the Bible. He's very, very few people have walked on water. But Peter does. Think about Moses. He enters into Pharaoh's palace. I mean, talk about not being qualified. I stutter. I have problems living in the desert. I've made mistakes. But I'm willing to step through that door of opportunity. Literally, a nation is in his hands and he's going to lead them. Think about David entering the arena with Goliath. This is a scenario that we hear time and time again where a young man's not qualified, not able, but willing to enter into the arena and to engage with that situation, and he's victorious. Anytime we're going to be victorious, that is the time that we step through that door of opportunity. Let's look secondly at exposing the opposition. So we know the enemy opposes us, but the question is why? Why would the enemy oppose us? Because he knows the potential of a man that's willing to rise up, to enter that door of opportunity, to fight for souls for the kingdom of God. He sees the dimensions of your life and he knows what you can become. My mom and dad just got a puppy, and it's supposed to be a Catahoula or whatever it is. Thing looks like a pit bull to me, but it is mean looking. And I tell my parents that thing is going to grow up into a dog. And when it's going to turn into a real animal with real teeth that has to do real damage. And the idea of you now, you view yourself like this puppy. I don't have much to offer. I'm kind of clumsy. But the devil sees you. He says, this man is going to turn into a man of God. He's going to turn into something. But he also knows that that only comes when you enter that arena, when you enter that door of opportunity. He knows that miracles live in the seasons of open doors. We just had an awesome conference. We saw powerful preaching. We saw men of God that were delivering these powerful messages that were they're artfully created and spoken. So it's just like, it blows your mind. But these are normal men. These are men that were dope-smoking hippies. And look at what they're doing. Is that because they created that? Is that because they studied? And absolutely, they studied, they contended. But they entered that arena. They entered that door. That's how they got there. And God would raise them up to where they're at. We hear stories all the time. of men that step into that arena, they enter that door, and all hell breaks loose. You know, I started tithing, and I lost everything. I lost my job. I started, you know, contending to be clean. I got filters on my phone, and I got this, and the devil's attacking my mind while I'm sleeping. Why is that? When we know, because the enemy attacks a man who is trying to move forward. He wants you to stay where you're at. Trying to discipline yourself to come to morning prayer, to wake up a little bit more, a little earlier, just so you could come and give some time to God. And every morning you wake up, your alarm didn't go off. You know, you can't find your shoe, your belt's gone, you and your wife get in a fight, whatever it is. Something happens, and it's like, ah, it's 7:20, I got to get to work now. Right? There's opposition that comes when you're making those decisions, but you have to remember who the devil is. Let me get 1 Peter 5:8.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
The picture of a lion is a strategic picture of he's seeking the opportunity to destroy. And so if he's seeking to destroy, we have to remember that he has one agenda. He's trying to kill whatever he's after. He's trying to not just stop you so that you remain where you're at. He's trying to disqualify and get you out of the race completely, make you backslide. That's what he's after. And so the idea of entering that door to engage the enemy gives you that opportunity to step into that realm and to be victorious in the sense. Let's open for questions. Does anybody have any questions, any comments before we move on? Anybody?
Okay. You said earlier decisions have deadlines.
Yep.
How can you know what decisions have deadlines? I know there's, you know, wisdom involved, and, you know, hearing the voice of God, and, you know, but how can you know what decisions have deadlines?
So in my opinion, there's the understanding of I'd rather err on the side of caution. And so if you feel like God is challenging you to something, you feel like God is calling you to something, the idea that it could be for later, but I'm going to do anything I can do now to facilitate that for whatever time God is calling me to it. So if it's for now or for later, whatever, but if you feel that, like Pastor Greg says, put it on the shelf and wait and see what God's doing with it. If it's for now, then ask God to equip you and to make you sensitive to that so that you can move through that decision. Yeah? Okay, let's continue to move on. And so what Paul is saying in our text is he's saying that opportunity and opposition, they go hand in hand. That when you step into that arena, that you're going to be met with opposition. And so to prepare yourself, you need to understand that the enemy can be defeated, that you can resist the devil and he will flee, and that you can step into a destiny that is much greater, much larger than yourself. So the question I'd ask this morning is this, and I want you to ask yourself this. What area of your life has God been challenging you? What is it that God has put his finger on and that he has been pressing you to break out of or to rise above or to contend for in that area of life? What is that area? Could it be that if you wait on that until you're more financially set or until you feel like, okay, now I'm ready, could it be that you could miss that opportunity? It's possible. Paul says, a door of opportunity has opened up unto me. And so the idea is that it's an opportunity. There are people in this room that God is calling you to other nations. There's people that God are calling you to preach the gospel here in the States, whatever. There's people that in here that God, perhaps you will never go out and preach, but God is calling you to do something else. To be a prayer warrior, to be a pillar, to be that weapon in the arsenal that is for close range combat. God is calling you one way or the other, and you can be like a perfectly crafted arrow that can be sent in and change the course of battle through your physical presence or through your prayers. And so here's an understanding. Let's look at Matthew 7, verse 7.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you.
This is, I love this scripture because it it shines light on many different aspects. But the idea that I'm seeing in this is that if you're going to be successful, you have to be involved. It says different ways, but everything is pointing to personal involvement. You have personal involvement in your salvation, first of all. Secondly, it's in your discipleship, putting yourself under leadership, putting yourself in the Word of God, putting yourself in a place of prayer where God can speak to you and challenge you, where a man of God, Pastor Greg, Pastor Mitchell, can speak into your life. You're putting yourself, that this is personal involvement. And what this does is it speaks of taking your calling, that opportunity, personally. Some of the most regretful people I've ever met in my life are people that have missed that season of opportunity. They have regrets. They'll tell you, "Oh yeah, I was that guy. I was this guy. I was you know, up there on the ladder." And it's like in their mind, that's where I was, and this is where I am now. And they take their personal involvement, they take it out. When you, is it possible that God sees something in you that even you don't see? Is it possible that God, yeah, you see yourself there, but He sees you even higher, but He's just waiting. He's waiting for you to step up and to step through that door. And let's look finally at a God of effectiveness. So we know we serve a God that is moving. He's progressive. He's not, you know, sitting in heaven waiting and just waiting. God is on the move. He's doing something in this nation. He's doing something in men and in the churches. In Prescott, there's something happening in this fellowship, in this congregation. It's supernatural. When you leave and then you come back, you can see it. There is a serious expectancy in this church. It's electricity. And the reason why is because people are sensing destiny. They're seeing, I can see that there is a next level of growth. There's something else coming down. And that brings an excitement. And that God has placed that in place. But could it be this morning that God is waiting for the men of God to engage? He's waiting for the men of God to stand up and to begin to take their walk, and they're entering this door of opportunity seriously. So, like I said, we had an amazing conference. And these are regular men, just like you and I, literally changing the landscape of this planet. In a spiritual sense, literally changing nations, ordinary men that have fought through and they have broken through the opposition. And so the idea that when you enter that door of opportunity, that your destiny is unlocked. That you're entering into a destiny given by God. And when you choose into that door, God takes your walk with Him to the next level. Many times you hear people say, "I wish I could grow. I want to grow." That's very admirable. But the way we grow is we enter into that door of opportunity. Paul says a door has opened, which means it's seasonal. To be effective, which means you can be effective at what you do, and to fight against, to be able to be victorious and fight against. So let me close with this. What if God has placed the keys of revival in this city, revival in your family, revival in your job? What if He has placed the keys in your hands already? You're holding them and He's just waiting for you. What if He's waiting for you to step into that, where people can be saved, lives can be changed, destinies can be, you know, the calling can be answered? You can enter into that arena and you can be that man of God that God has called you to be. Okay, let's open it for some questions. Questions concerning calling, anything like that.
Is there any hope for those who miss an opportunity?
Absolutely. Yeah, the old saying is there's still opportunity because you're still breathing. And so you can start today and press in and make a decision today and say, you know what? I need this. I want this. I'm not going to make any more excuses. I'm gonna press into this and I'm going to go for it. And obviously you're not going to earn what you're trying to achieve in the things of God. You're going to step into that destiny by the grace of God. But making that decision today, forget what happened in the past. let's move forward, right? The Bible is progressive. It's moving forward, and it addresses the future. And so as you're making decisions to be a man of God, to be, you know, whatever God is calling you to be, absolutely there's hope. It's just making that decision today. Yeah, making it personal, making it real for yourself. Absolutely.
How do you process a closed door properly, like for you, how you were kicked out of the nation?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And it's interesting because in a natural sense, Pastor Greg has put something in all of his disciples that if you see opposition, that means that you're either on the right track because the devil's opposing you. And it's not okay, right? And so do you get defeated or determined? These are the aspects, but the way we processed it is at first it's like, man, I thought we were doing what was right. We're preaching, we're praying, we're fasting, we're contending, and the door's shutting. And then you step back and you look at the big picture and where we're going in Taiwan, people that got saved in Shanghai are in Taiwan. Whole families are there. And they're waiting for churches as we speak. And we're going to the city where these people are. And it's like God brought them there. God orchestrated everything. And so the way we processed it is we say, God, obviously you know what you're doing. And whatever you're doing, it just helped me to flow with it and keep my heart right. And so it's, you know, I did this and I did that and what, and then I'm done. But the idea is God knows what he's doing. And if that door in China shut and the door in Taiwan opens or opens wherever else in the world, you have to understand that God knows what he's doing. And it's a matter of keeping your heart right. Yeah, don't let the devil rip you off of your ministry, your destiny, because you don't understand. It's easy to get confused. I don't see what God's doing. But if I look back on the whole situation of everything that happened, you know, these guys came into our church. We left the church. You know, we in the middle of the night, I called Pastor Greg, and he said, talk to the leadership there. We did, and he said, get out of there. We disappeared that night. That was bizarre. Church had been there for over 3 years. They came back. So because we left, that bought us 4 months. In that 4 months, we saw people that were blind get healed. We saw, I think it was like 13 brand new, never heard the gospel before converts in that 4 months. Had we stayed, we would have been cut short and those people would have never been saved. But because God shut that door, that opened another door where we could still make impact. And that could. Then again, we moved to the new building. And it was in an abandoned mall, and it felt again like we had made a mistake and maybe we missed God. And again, this lady comes in, her legs are, you know, like a foot short. She has metal in her thigh, and she gets totally healed. Her son gets saved, becomes the song service leader. But had we stayed where we would have missed that. So keeping your heart right, you're still in the race, you're still fighting that, and destiny is still happening, but God knows what he's doing ultimately. Right? Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Anybody else? Questions? Yeah.
The element of praying for the sick, you've had a lot of, God really helped you with that. When was your faith first stirred? And then how do you kind of, overcoming self-critique in that area, how did you do that? How did that happen for you?
So I heard Pastor Greg preach a sermon when he first came. I remember him preaching a sermon, and he was talking about praying for people, and nobody was getting healed. And he said, you know what, God, you don't love him more than you love me. And he said, I began to pray for people, and I started seeing miracles. And in my mind, I thought, well, I want the same spirit Pastor Greg has. I want to be able to pray for the sick and see them get healed. And I didn't really act on it until Pastor Greg was preaching a sermon. I had torn my ACL, my meniscus in my knee, and I was going to have surgery. Then I had evangelists pray for me, pastors pray for me, and Pastor Greg, he preached a sermon, and he said, you can pray for yourself. I said, wait a minute. So I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, and I just did it, and God healed my leg. And to this day, I haven't had a problem. And I that's powerful, not because it's, you know, Pastor Greg told me to, or because I did, but because God he's moving on faith. And so the next time I saw somebody that was sick, I saw he was there in Anthem. He said, I can remember it clearly. He was sitting there and he was in a wheelchair and I was walking by and God told me to pray for him and I kept walking. And my wife grabbed my sleeve and we were about, you know, from to meet a Zach away and she said, you better pray for that guy. Like almost like God spoke to her.
She heard it too.
Yeah, yeah. I said, was that an out loud voice? And I went back and he spoke Spanish and he didn't speak English. His daughter was about maybe 14. So I said, I'm going to pray for him. And I prayed for him. And, I feel like I had faith, and he pushed his wife out of the way, and she's trying to push him down. She's yelling, saying no. And finally he's trying to stand up, and he stands up and he goes, and she's like, I said, oh, well, praise God. He had a tummy ache or something. This man was paralyzed.
Wow.
I didn't know it. He just got diagnosed with stomach cancer. Couldn't walk. Stomach cancer. Major pain after that. And he was going to die. He's still in his hospital gear. And he stands up and he stretches. And his daughter said, he doesn't walk, first of all. But second of all, he can never stand up straight. And so here God does a powerful miracle. But that was a lesson for me. That was the moment for me when I said, God is bigger than my shortcomings. If I'll step out and I'll enter that arena, that's where God will meet me. And some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my walk with God has happened when I doubted it most for myself. It was that standing in line at the store or whatever, and it's like, pray for that person, and it's like, but it's when you enter that arena, you see those miracles. And so that's where I saw a turning point, and I literally told God, if I have an opportunity and you quicken my, I'll pray for anybody. And I pray for people in the bank, in the store, in the bathroom. I pray for people everywhere I go. I see them washing their hands. Let me pray for you. Not because I'm crazy, but because I want to see God do something. I want to see people raised from the dead. That's something that I want to see. And so, pressing for that. You know what I mean? Yeah, so that's where I saw the change, was entering that arena from what Pastor Greg said.
Did you see that when you started stepping out in faith for healing? Did you see something shift in other areas of your discipleship as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. God began to challenge us in the area of finances. And so, you're living hand to mouth, which is, you go to work, you get paid, and your wife's like, did you get paid? Let's get groceries, Literally, that's how it, and God began to challenge. He challenged. He said, oh, I want you to try to outgive me. And so we did. We tried to outgive God. And it was like, no matter how much we gave, God gave it back. I mean, we had a landscape business that fell flat on its face a few times. We started trying to outgive God, and all of a sudden, more work than I could even fathom came in. God met us there. And so that came after seeing God do stuff. It's almost like you see a manifestation of God, and it gives you faith in other areas. It's like, well, if he can heal somebody who can't walk, he can touch my finances. If he can do that, he can help me here, he can help me there. I prayed that God would give me love for his word. I mean, to be totally honest with you, to read the Bible when I first got saved, I was like, this is hard. But I said, God, I want you to give me a supernatural love for your word. And God did. And so it wasn't like, I have to see things moving and growing and changing. It was personal too. If you can do it on an external, I want you to do it on an internal. And he did. He met me there. And so to answer your question, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started there and I saw things happening like that, yeah. Very good. Anybody else? Questions or comments concerning this? How about any other questions? Anyone at all? Going once. Going twice. Okay. I just want to, before we dismiss, I really want to just say from where I'm standing, coming back into Prescott just for a few months and able to see what God is doing here. It's hard to see it when you're right in the middle of it and it's just you're working, you're going through life. But when you're from the outside and you come in, man, you guys get ready. Revival's coming to Prescott. It's crazy. There's an excitement in the air and there's an anticipation in the air. And it's not just because of the building. There's a supernatural shift. And when you come from the outside and you come in, it's like you feel it. Walking into the church is like, wow, this is not just church. Like, we are part of something crazy. And, we hear Pastor Greg and Pastor Mitchell, God's going to fill the church. It's going to be more than that. And you can feel that. This is a shift of the fellowship, and it's going to happen here in this church.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. So be encouraged. Just saying that from the outside in. Coming in and stepping into it, it's crazy. So. Anyway, that's all I have this morning. Thank you guys for listening.
Okay, that's it. God bless you.